Good morning!
Morning!
That's quite tense, isn't it, that little countdown? I was expecting some kind of explosion or something, but there we go. No explosions, we're great. Welcome to St. Andrew's this morning. Glorious sunny morning. Well, it looks like it's sunnier than when I came in, but that's getting there. You're all very welcome. If you are normally here on a Sunday morning, welcome. If you haven't been for ages and you decided to come along again, welcome. If this is your first time or second time or third, fourth, fifth, welcome, and welcome as well to those who are online. Everyone's welcome. We're glad you joined us. We're here this morning to worship God, to sing his praises, and to meet with him. I've got a couple of events coming up that I just want to tell you about before we carry on. These aren't events for everybody, but if you are involved, great. If you're not involved, then perhaps pray for those who are. Pray that they would go well. The first event is a messy church, and this is not a normal messy church. This is messy church goes wild. We could have the slide for that. This is this Thursday, Thursday the 17th, 3:30 in the afternoon, and it's not in church. It's not in the Witch Church. It's on Peachfield Common. If you know the football pitch, kind of halfway up Peachfield Road, meeting there. But most importantly, if you do want to go, you need to tell Helen that you're coming. So find her afterwards and let her know, or drop her an email. Her email address is on the church website, so please let her know you're coming. The next event that's coming up this coming Saturday is a ladies' breakfast for the ladies of the church. Gentlemen, you have one coming up in September. Don't get jealous. But the important thing about this is it's not here where it normally is. It's up at the Alturo Lounge. Up on Bellevue Terrace, I think, apparently. So it's a different location. Hopefully they do a good breakfast. So if you're a lady and you want to go along to that, 9 o'clock this Saturday morning. And if you're not a lady, pray for those ladies who are going. A psalm, before we continue, a psalm that asks us or encourages us to give praise to God. Psalm 47, 1-6 says this. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome. The great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy. The Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. Let's pray. Father God, we're here to sing your praise, to worship you, to meet with you. We ask this morning that each and every one of us would encounter you in some way, whether through song, through prayer, through your word, or through each other as we meet together. Meet with us and change us by your Holy Spirit this morning, so that we can go out from here and bring your love and your blessing to the people we meet this week. We ask this through the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Sing.
Okay, so we're going to carry on by singing God's praises. And as ever, we have a box of instruments down here. And the songs that we're doing, oh my goodness, we're going to need some help, aren't we, Barry?
Certainly
are. Yeah, so come on down and help yourself to instruments. I don't know if the flags, are the flags there, Tristan? Yeah, the flags are there as well, if you'd rather wave a flag around. Okay, so we've got a couple of songs to sing, all about the goodness of God. And the first one is saying, let the people say, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. So let's be up on our feet and tell God how much we love him. Okay, off we go. two, three, four.
Thank you.
Forgive us, and you just bless us constantly with your presence in our lives. We are so blessed, Lord, to be able to be in this church this morning and worship you freely. Thinking, as we prayed before we came in, of all those people who can't worship like we can freely. We are blessed, Lord, and we thank you for your presence in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please do take a seat. Now, I wonder if there are any children here who might come and sit on the red carpet and join me, because it's quite lonely up here. Anyone want to come and join me, children? Please do, because otherwise I'm going to feel really awkward.
You'll cry.
Anyone want to pretend to be a child and come and sit on the carpet with me? Anybody? Ah, yes, thank you, my own children. Thank you. I'm going to come and sit down here. Now, I wonder if any of you are perhaps starting a new school in September. Is there anyone who's starting a brand new school? You're starting a brand new school in September. Or will you be brave enough to come and talk to me about it? You don't know. Well, we'll just wait while you decide. Do you think? Can I ask you a couple of questions about starting a school? Would you come here? Thank you very much. Excellent. Now, I don't know you. What's your name? Do you want to come and sit here?
Taylor.
Taylor. Hello, Taylor. Right, so do you know anything about your new school?
I know where I'm going.
You know where you're going?
Yeah.
That's good. And do you know who your teacher's going to be?
No.
No? Do you know where your classroom's going to be?
No.
No? Do you know anyone else who's going to your school?
Yeah.
You do? That's good. So you've got some friends going. This is high school, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. And how are you feeling about starting this new school?
Confident.
Excellent. Well, this is good. I think we'll stop and carry on. Is there any worry at all? No, you're just confident. That's good, though.
I'm fine.
Excellent. Well, that's good. Brilliant. I might have to make something else up. thank you very much, Sarah. You can go and sit down, or you can stay here if you like. You see, I'm kind of starting a new school in September. I'm going to college in September, and it's a college I don't know much about. I'm a little bit nervous, to be honest. And sometimes starting something completely new can be a little bit scary. But unless you're Taylor, who is perfectly confident, which is fantastic. Well done, Taylor. I'm glad you are feeling good about going to school. But over the last few weeks, we've been looking at a book in the New Testament called Hebrews, and we've been going through chapter 11, which is often called the Heroes of Faith. I often look at it and think it sounds a little bit like the Avengers. But these heroes don't have superpowers like the Avengers. They have a different kind of superpower. Their superpower was that they trusted God and they put their faith in him and they did what he asked them to do. Which isn't really a superpower at all, is it? But it's something we can all do. We can all be heroes of faith. And these people were real and the Avengers weren't. And we've looked at Noah and then we looked at Abraham and then this week we're going to be looking at Joseph. Now, does anyone know anything about Joseph? Put your hand up if you heard of Joseph. Have you seen the film The Prince of Egypt? Wow, it's a good crowd this morning, isn't it? I've seen the film The Prince of Egypt. I think it's fantastic. Joseph was Abraham's great-grandson. And he carried on this huge, big adventure that was all started by Abraham. You see, Abraham was living in this nice house in a city. And God said to him, I want you to leave all of that behind and go and travel to a new land. God said he was going to make Abraham's descendants, his family, into this huge big nation, that they were all going to go and live in that land, and that God was going to bless Abraham so that through him, he would be a blessing to other people. Eventually, he's going to be a blessing to the whole world. But Abraham had to leave everything that he knew. He had to leave primary school and go to high school, and perhaps he was feeling a little bit nervous about that. But we know how it all ended. We've got the rest of the Bible to read the story, and we know it all ended well. But Abraham didn't know that. Abraham had to trust God and take that first step. And one of the things that Abraham did was he took that promise and he passed it on to his son, Isaac. Have we got the family tree up? Hopefully there's a slide of a family tree. Never mind. So Abraham passed it on to his son Isaac. Isaac passed it on to his sons, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob passed it on to his sons, which included Joseph. And we're going to be talking about Joseph later on, and I think you guys are in your group as well. Oh, here it is. So you can see the blue color there. We've got right at the very top, we've got Abraham's father, Terah. And then we've got Abraham and his children, Isaac and his children, and Jacob's children as well. Imagine having 12 sons. I've got 3 daughters, that's enough. So all of this passing on from one generation to another reminded me a little bit about this church. So I don't know much about the history of this church. I don't know if there's anyone that does. Perhaps some of the people in the congregation know about this church, but I don't know much about it. But I did look up on the internet, so it must be true, that it was built in 1882. And I guess God told someone to build the church. And so they did. And because they did, God blessed all the people in this area by showing them his love through this church. And those first people that came to this church, they passed it on to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. And now here we all are sitting here this morning. And God has been blessing people through this church for over 140 years. I think that's quite amazing. Just because someone took that step, they had to do just like Abraham did, take that first step and trust what God was saying. I think stepping into the unknown can sometimes be a bit difficult. It can be risky and it can feel a bit scary, like starting new school. But with God's help, it can turn into something amazing. Now I wonder what God might be asking us to step into today and in the coming weeks and months and years. I'm just thinking about that. I think it's really pretty exciting. So you guys are going to go and you're going to go to your group. It's not your normal groups, but there are some activities for you to do. I think you're going to hear about Joseph. But before you go, I'd just like to pray for you and for the rest of us as we stay in here. Father God, thank you for your blessing that passes down from generation to generation. And Lord, we pray for this younger generation as they go out to their groups to learn about you. We pray that they would encounter you in just the same way that we encounter you here in this part of the building. Lord, would you bless them? Would you speak to them? Amen. You can go now. So we're going to carry on worshipping God through song. So would you please stand?
I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever.
Jesus, the name above.
as we've just sung in that song, thank you for what you have done for us and for the blessing that you are to us. Lord, help us to be a blessing to others. As we sing this next song, let's just bring ourselves before the Lord. As we sing about speaking Jesus to those who are in difficulties, those who are having a hard time. Help us, Lord, to come alongside other people with the good news of Jesus. May we bring Jesus to all those people that we come into contact with every day. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Jesus, fill my family. I speak the holy name.
Give us the opportunity to speak Jesus to the people we meet this week. To talk about you. To pray about the situations they might be going through. To bring your love. Help us to be sensitive to your Spirit's prompting. Amen. Please do be seated. We're going to move on a moment to our reading. Just 1 second, Jen, sorry. and then Helen's going to come and speak to us, but I just want to pray now before Jones reads the scripture to us. Father God, we thank you for the words that Helen has prepared. And we pray that you would speak through what she says to us. That each one of us would hear something for ourselves, something that you want to bring directly to us. And that through these words you would bless us so that we can go out to bless others. Bless this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jen.
First reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20 to 23, and it's on page 1211. By faith, Abraham blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And then going back to Genesis chapter 50, verse 22 to 26, the death of Joseph. It's on page 57. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110. And after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
be helpful to have your Bibles open at Hebrews 11 as we look at what's going on here this morning. Now, we're going to begin in Auckland Castle in County Durham, which used to be the home of the Prince Bishops of Durham. Now, that was in the days when bishops were treated like members of the aristocracy. But now it's open to the public. And when I went round, I found in the former dining room the most amazing collection of paintings. They're known as the Zurbarans, paintings by the Spanish master Francisco de Zurbarán. And they were bought by a former bishop of Durham for his seat in Bishop Auckland in the northwest of England. And when in 2010 the church commissioners, the Church of England is a bit more down on its uppers these days than it was then, when they tried to sell these paintings to raise a bit of money, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, launched an appeal that they might be saved for the nation. And so today you can still see them in the castle, although I think that since I went, a new gallery has been built to house them. And the paintings show Jacob and his 12 sons, the sons of Israel. Now, Jacob's story is a long one, and partway through his name is changed to Israel. But his sons become part of a dynasty that is to form the future tribes of Israel and the whole Jewish nation that moved into the Promised Land. You can see the line of succession here. It's the slide that we had up earlier, and I've got Ashley's great gizmo that he lent me. Apparently he used to use this to look at the accounts at the annual general meeting on the screen. But I think I might be able to point this. Oh, yes. Can I? Is this working? Oh, dear. I thought, is it? I got it. Oh, yes, there we are. So there's Abraham, son of Terah, and Isaac, and Jacob, and that's Judah. Now, he's in blue because that's the line that came down to Jesus, who is sometimes called the Lion of Judah. But here are all the sons that Jacob had, including Joseph, who's here, and Benjamin, Jacob's final son. And they're the ones who became the children of Israel in the Promised Land, Joseph and his brothers. Now, it's hard to portray a dynasty, isn't it? These are paintings are the only ones I've seen of an artist trying to portray the different personalities of Jacob and his sons. So here, perhaps fittingly, Joseph, with papers in hand, looks rather like the administrator that he was to become when he ruled over Egypt. And we'll come back to that later. Picking successors in a large family dynasty is a story that's never become dated. Here is the family patriarch of a more recent dynasty with descendants and possible successors all around. The Sky television drama Succession follows the Roy family based in New York. Logan Roy owns a global media corporation and he begins to experience failing health. And so his four children, all of whom have varying degrees of connection to the company, begin to prepare for a future without their father. And they vie for prominence within the company. This, says the publicity, is a family that is determined to take what's yours. How different, then, is the generational succession that we find in Hebrews 11? Because here we find a dynasty that is created by God and called by him, not for personal gain, but to bless the generations that succeed them with the eventual goal of blessing the whole world. And as we heard last week, it started with Abraham, who left Ur of the Chaldees and travelled to Haran. So here he is. And then he spends quite a bit of time around the land of Canaan, where all the people eventually going to settle. And God gave him this promise: I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. Listen carefully here to what God is promising. I will bless you. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. All people on earth will be blessed through you. Building his life on that promise, Abraham was always looking forward, seeking God for this promise to come to fruition. And if we look back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12, on page 1209, it says this, Hebrews 11, 12, "And so from this one man, Abraham, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." As we read Hebrews 11, we're invited to stand back and view how the panoply of history moves from the promise of blessing given to Abraham to its culmination in Christ. The whole flow of the narrative in this letter to the Hebrews is about salvation history, about working towards the climax of history in the redeeming work of Jesus by his cross and resurrection. And it shows a train of blessing that sets in motion across, that God sets in motion across different generations, cultures, and people groups. And here in Hebrews 11, we find an astonishing list of people in a succession story that is not about power and greed, but a story with a message of blessing and hope, even in the midst of persecution and struggle. Lives lived in faith that bring a train of blessing in which you and I are caught up today. So this morning, we're focusing on just a few generations within this dynasty, those around Joseph. And if you're looking for a riveting read this holiday season, can I suggest the saga of this family in Genesis chapters 12 to 50. I tell you, it matches anything you might find in a modern television soap. Yet as you read, notice how God redeems all that the people get up to in order to bring blessing. We're going to look at the blessings that cross the different generations under three sections. And they're these: Abraham and the promise of blessing, Jacob and the provision of blessing, Joseph and the providence of blessing, which kind of sounds a bit cheesy, but I just woke up one day and God gave it to me, so I thought, right, I'll go with this. First of all, Abraham and the promise of blessing. Now, the original promise given to Abraham in Genesis 12 is passed on to his son Isaac, who inherits. So Genesis 26:3 tells us that God said to Isaac, "I will be with you and will bless you. I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed." Isaac then passed on the blessing to the next generation, to his own sons Jacob and Esau. So the writer to the Hebrews sums up Isaac's life like this, chapter 11, verse 20. "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future." Now, this still happens today in God's kingdom. Church is where emerging generations receive the blessings of those who've gone before. It's been said quite rightly that it takes a whole church to raise a child. So don't ever think that as you age, you have no contribution to make to children, to young people, or anyone in the generations below you. God has designed blessing to flow from generations to other generations so that all of us can flourish together. When I was in the sixth form, I was part of a church youth group that met every Sunday after the evening service. There was a meeting every week, but all of the gatherings, I mean, it must be loads, I can only remember two. The first one was when the curate who ran the group explained to us the evening service that we just attended. Now, this was 1970. So the service that we'd just been to was called Evensong from the Book of Common Prayer. It had been published in 1662 and was in rather old-fashioned English, as far as I was concerned, that sounded a bit more modern than the Shakespeare I was doing at school, but not a lot more. But when this man explained how it all fitted together, for me as a theoretical learner, it was absolutely transformational. All of a sudden, evening worship made sense for me. And it was interesting because the structure that he gave, we still use it. If you come to the six, it doesn't look like there's a structure, but there is. Actually, it looks like Evensong, really. Anyway, never mind, it's another talk. The only other meeting, though, that I remember, which is here really is the relevant one, I remember that three older people in the church came to share their testimonies with us, what we now call their stories. Although the two men looked pretty old to me, I have to say, I remember that they spoke about being at work, so they must have been a lot younger than I am today. But the lady was fairly elderly and looked older than my granny. But the point is this. This was the first time in my life I'd ever heard a testimony from someone from an older generation. From someone who'd followed Jesus not just for years, but for decades. And I was blown away by the fact that it was possible to be a disciple of Jesus when you're old. Even when you were earning money. And you were a person who hadn't allowed the things of this life to hinder your discipleship. Or to cloud your vision of God. Because it was still there in them. And I remember that day as a teenager deciding that whatever life brought me, I wanted to be like those people. To be, as the psalmist says in Psalm 92, bearing fruit in old age. That's the perspective that we get as we move on from Isaac in chapter 11, verse 20 in Hebrews, to Jacob his son in 11:21, where, excuse me, that we're told that Jacob worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. It's one of my favourite verses, partly because of that youth meeting. Jacob worshipped as he leaned on his staff. Now, Jacob had twin boys, Jacob and Esau. Jacob is born after Esau, but he enters the world holding on to his brother's heel. He does not find it hard to trick Esau out of their father's blessing. And Jacob lives the first part of his life greedily grabbing all he can from his relatives. Forever insecure, Jacob appears at first to be more in the line of succession of the Logan Roys of this world, rather than being an heir of the promises of God. Yet one time when he was on the run, Jacob had a vision of a staircase up to heaven. God reached out to him in a place of holy encounter that he named Bethel, meaning house of God, in Genesis 28. But it was only when he was older and increasingly desperate that he turned back to God. One night at the ford Jabbok, when he wrestled with God in prayer. And on that night, he owned up to the fact that he tried to swindle his way into God's blessing as he struggled to believe that God was for him. But by morning, Jacob realized that in fact God had always been there for him and he'd never been against him. That God had had him in the palm of his hand, promising even before he was born that he would inherit God's blessing. That he was created to inherit a blessing and to pass it on. That night was a fresh start for Jacob. And in the morning he had a new name, the name of Israel. Genesis 32. Yet, interestingly, the writer to the Hebrews mentions none of this. Of course, it's because he's writing to Jewish people. And he assumes that they know all of this story already. And so he simply says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And this is where the Zubaran paintings are so helpful. The painter knew the Bible well. I tell you, I went into that room and I thought, oh, that's Jacob from Hebrews 11. It's such a privilege to have some biblical background. It was Arthur Schopenhauer, the 19th century German philosopher, who said, the first 40 years of life give us the text. The next 30 supply the commentary on it. And it took Jacob a lifetime to recognize that he was blessed to be a blessing. At Bethel, God had said to him, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. But he didn't appreciate it until many years later he arrived at the ford Jabbok, at the place he called Peniel, meaning face of God, because he'd finally learned to accept God's blessing for himself and to pass on that blessing, which is focused on in Hebrews 11. And so now, finally, we come to Joseph. Zubaran shows Joseph in later life. Here is an authoritative man, made to be ruler of Egypt, who saves lives in a time of famine. He has the authority to ensure that when he dies, his body is preserved by Egyptian embalming, so that one day it can be moved on to a different place, to the land of God's promise, a land flowing with milk and honey, a place of great blessing. And all we have about Joseph, despite the chapters and chapters there are about him in Genesis, we just have one verse in Hebrews 11. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. In fact, everything in Joseph's life had been designed by God to bless the many in succession. His story begins in Genesis 37, when as a young man he has prophetic dreams that wind up his brothers and result in him being taken as a slave to Egypt. There he has all sorts of adventures and finally ends up in prison before his final promotion to the court of Pharaoh. Towards the end of Genesis, Joseph, as he looks back on his life, is able to say to his brothers who betrayed him, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Genesis 50. Joseph's testimony is that he had known the hand of God's blessing even though there had been difficult times, when you don't understand what God is doing. Acknowledging God's hand of providence undergirding all things, Joseph has learned to bless others, even his brothers who betrayed him, even those who meant him harm. And he lived that New Testament phrase from the book of Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? He can see all the time that God is moving forward. And so Hebrews highlights the burial of Joseph's bones as because it's all about the future hope. Joseph's descendants and his brother's descendants, all the children of Israel, will one day leave Egypt and move to the promised land. Don't forget that, says Joseph. It's a land of blessing given to Abraham and his descendants, a land where you will flourish and eventually a place where the Saviour of the whole world, who brings blessing to all, is born. And when they leave Egypt, they take his bones with him. You know, someone in Joseph's position should have had a really good education and just have been well set up in life. But God didn't work it that way at all. Things went wrong, in inverted commas, and yet Joseph knew that God's hand of blessing ultimately was on it all, and that he had a plan, a salvation plan going on. Just before the service this morning, we were praying in the vestry, and someone prayed for all of those young people who are going to be receiving exam results shortly. And I just thought how important that was, and how people need to, we all of us need to remember and to be reassured that God has his hand on our lives, whatever happens. I was interested to read recently that Pete Gregg, the author, said that he completely messed up his A-levels and he never went to the university course. So in a huff, he went off, I think, and did some travelling. I don't think he ever went to university. And there he is, a well-known author and presenter. I was just amazed at how God can take a life and bring blessing, even when it doesn't feel like it, when you don't do very well at your A-levels. And so Joseph's story, remember, begins and ends in dreams and prophecy. The hand of God guiding things behind the scenes, or providence, as it's sometimes called. As you read these stories in the book of Genesis, Jacob and Joseph are quite contrasting. Jacob struggles to receive blessing as well as to pass it on, whereas Joseph knew from his early dreams that he'd inherited God's blessing. Yet most of his life was spent in hardship, and the challenge was to acknowledge the blessing in difficult places. So how about us? Because we too, as God's people, stand in this line of blessing. Henry Nouwen, in his book Bread for the Journey, wrote this. Oops. Is it possible to add it? What's happened to Henry Nouwen? What's going on? Oh no, we can go back. Can we go forward? Yes. Let us not be discouraged. Jesus walks with us and speaks to us on the road. When we listen carefully, we discover that we all are already home while on the way. In other words, the blessing is always there for us, as it was for all of those characters we've looked at. And the way to live in it is to acknowledge it daily. God's presence is always there, waiting to bless us. We just have to show up, mentally at least. Now how about finding a place daily where you can count your blessings? I found if I do that first thing, it transforms my approach to the day, and I come down to breakfast much more positive about what lies ahead. Eugene Peterson wrote this: thanksgiving, or remembrance, internalizes a history of grace and strengthens praise into blessing, so that we act in a renewing way on our environment. I'll repeat that. Both Henry Nouwen and Eugene Peterson, they say about what everybody else would take a page to say, they say it in a sentence. So Peterson says, thanksgiving internalizes a history of grace and strengthens praise into blessing, so that we act in a renewing way on our environment. It makes a difference, that outworking of blessing to others. A few weeks ago, Pete Gregg, whose writings we use in our Lent life groups, went on a pilgrimage from Iona in western Scotland to the island of Lindisfarne in Northumberland. And as he neared the end of his journey, he discovered this. In fact, at the time I wrote it down, because I thought it's so much like these heroes of faith. And interestingly, Dave quoted it in a sermon a few weeks ago when he was talking about his travels. And Pete Gregg said this: I suppose I haven't actually come here to find God, but instead I've been found by God in the act of coming here. I've been found by God in the act of coming here. God is always present, but I am not. He is always I am, but I am not. I have walked all this way not to reach a destination, but to arrive at a new beginning, where I may welcome the Lord afresh into my future and my past. Arrive at a new beginning where I may welcome the Lord afresh into my future and my past. Just as those heroes of faith did. Abraham heard God's voice. All people on earth will be blessed through you. Isaac followed this up and prayed for blessing for his sons Jacob and Esau. Jacob encountered the presence of God in visions and prayer, and he worshipped God as he leaned on his staff. Joseph knew God's plans through dreams and prophecy. Like his great-grandfather Abraham, he was always looking ahead to God's promise of blessing for the future. God is constantly at work across the generations, seeking to bring blessing. Where do you encounter his blessings today? We're going to have a time of silent prayer now. Well, I'm going to invite you just to keep your hands open. God is here. We're sitting in his presence, but we want to be open to all the blessings that he has for us. So we're going to take a few minutes now to do that. And at the end of it, we're going to carry on in corporate prayer together, and we'll be led in our prayers by Tristan and Ellie. But before that, let's just sit in the promise, in the presence of the God who loves to bless and who has his eye on us. We're here, we've showed up. If we show up mentally and ask God, what have you got? What are you blessing me with today? What's the blessing that I am called to bring to others? Here am I. God is really smiling on his people this morning. God bless you. That's what he does.
Thank you, Helen. And there will be a chance later on to respond further to anything that God's been saying to you. And we'll get to that a bit later on. It's interesting, just before Ellie comes, that Helen mentioned the Book of Common Prayer, because I happen to have a copy with me here. I know we don't normally read from it on a 10:30 service, but I wanted to this morning, because the collect for today, which should come at the beginning of the service, but never mind, for this, as everyone knows, the 10th Sunday after Trinity, I thought was a good introduction for prayer. So let me just read this in the not quite Shakespearean language, but almost. Let thy merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of thy humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions, make them ask such things as shall please thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ellie's going to lead us in our intercessions.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together this morning, for being in a place where we can openly praise and worship you, where we can learn more about you and have opportunities to share you. We pray for those who this morning do not have such freedoms, and we ask that your spirit be with them and your protection over them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all of those people in Hawaii affected by the wildfires. We pray for rain and for the fires to stop spreading. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, and we pray for your healing over the communities as they deal with this tragedy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for refugees trying to seek safety in the UK and Europe. We ask for those who are in government to make decisions and for you to be with them as they make those decisions. We ask for you to mourn with those who have lost loved ones in the dangerous channel crossing attempts, and for your protection on those who have made it here but are now in temporary accommodation. Please be with them, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the loved ones of those who were injured and the woman who died in the crash on Church Street this week, and we ask you to bring them comfort after this shocking event. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our world and for your protection over the planet as we grapple with climate change. We ask for decisions to be made that will bring about effective change quickly, as we desperately need it. We ask for your help, Lord, as we make decisions closer to home, as for how we as a church can be more environmentally focused and reach the Church of England's goal of reaching net zero by 2030. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we think about blessings across the generations this morning, we pray for those who are inputting on young people's lives, whether it's as parents, grandparents, youth groups, or kids' clubs. We ask you to empower them to represent Jesus to them, particularly through the summer holidays, which can be challenging for many. We pray for your provision, Lord, for your grace on those caring for young people, and for your energy, Lord. In all we do, Lord, we ask that you would remind us that we are blessed by you to bless others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. And let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So we're going to come to our closing song in a moment, but just, again, an opportunity to respond during that song to anything you want to respond to, from perhaps what God was speaking to you through anything in the service, but particularly from the message that Helen brought to us. There's a number of things that jumped out at me that I felt that might be relevant to some people. Obviously, we were talking about being blessed to be a blessing to others, and there might be those who feel that they can't be a blessing to others, they can't be used by God, and there are a number of reasons why that might be. There was this idea of Abraham always looking forwards, and you might feel that you can't look forwards, you can't move forwards, because there's something in your past that's holding you back, and you're always aware of that. Just struck by those words of Pete Gregg about inviting God into our past as well as into our futures. And maybe you want to come and just give something about your past over to God. There was this idea that even older people can be disciples of Jesus. And you might be feeling like your time has passed. And you might want to come and receive a fresh commission from God this morning to go and be a blessing to others. Or you might feel completely unqualified. Why would God use me? Why would God be able to bless others through me? But when Jesus commissioned Peter to lead his church, he asked him one qualifying question. He said, "Do you love me?" That was all he asked him. He didn't say, "Can you speak well? What do you look like in a dog collar?" He just said, "Do you love me?" So perhaps if you're feeling unqualified, you could come too. If we could have the musicians, and then if you want to come for prayer during this last song, it's a song about blessing, so feel free to respond now or at the end. And if we could have those on the prayer ministry team as well, that would be great. If you'd like to stand, if you're able to.
Thank you.
first opportunity to practice being a blessing to others is coming up, because after the service there's tea and coffee and biscuits in the hall, and you have the opportunity to go and bless others as you chat with them. Do you come for prayer after we finish? If you haven't and you still want to, we'll keep some quiet in here for people to pray. But just a blessing to finish, and I wanted to echo the words of that song we just heard, and I've forgotten to bring my notes, so hopefully it's on the slide. Can we have the slides up, please, Lee? I can grab it down here, sorry. Just wanted to echo that blessing that God gave to Aaron to speak out to the Israelites as we go from this place. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Go and have a fantastic week.